It's 8 minutes past the hour of 4 a.m. here on WMFO in Medford, Massachusetts, 91.5 on your FM dial. We're not on the internet from what my connection says, but when we are on the internet, it's www.wmfo.org. Multicasting on iTunes.com, radio, and YouTube. I'm your host, Donnelly Brown, this Sunday, February the 11th, 2018 edition of A Brown Perspective on Sports. Talking sports here virtually every Sunday from about 4 to 5 a.m. To get involved in the sports conversation, you have to give me a call. 1-855-915-WMFO. 1-855-915-9636. I'll be back. Okay, it's 12 minutes past the hour of 4 a.m. I'm going to apologize again. We are not on the internet. It's not working. And so, therefore, we're only on WMFO Medford 91.5 on your FM dial. This is a Sunday, February the 11th, 2018 edition of A Brown Perspective on Sports, talking sports virtually every Sunday from about 4 to 5 a.m. To get involved in the sports conversation, you have to give me a call. 1-855-915-WMFO. 1-855-915-9636. Let's go to the National Basketball Association yesterday. The Pelicans 138 and the Nets 128. That went to two overtime. The Bucks 111, the Magic 104, the 76ers 112, the Clippers 98, the Wizards 101 and the Bulls 90, the Mavs 130 and the Lakers 123. That's good for us, far as our draft picks are concerned. Keep being those Lakers. Warriors 122, the Spurs 105, and the Nuggets 123 and the Suns 113. Okay, if you didn't know, let me tell you, there were a ton of trades in the NBA prior to the Thursday noon deadline. And let's see how many of these transactions I can share with you before we run out of time. There is certainly with a lot of them. Okay, first of all, Atlanta acquired Akaro White from Miami for Luke Babbitt and then waived White. Okay. Boston signed center Greg Monroe. The Brooklyn Nets acquired forward Dante Cunningham from New Orleans for guard Rashad Vaughn. Chicago acquired Willie Reed and the right to swap 2022 second round draft picks from Detroit for Jermaine Nelson and then waived Reed. Cleveland acquired guard Jordan Clarkson and forward Larry Nance Jr. from the LA Lakers and forward guard Isaiah Thomas, forward Channing Frye, and a 2018 protected first round draft pick. Miami acquired guard Dwayne Wade from Cleveland for a protected 2024 second-round draft pick, and then waived center Al Hammonds. New York acquired guard Emmanuel Mudiay from the Denver Nuggets, with the Nuggets adding guard Devin Harris from the Dallas Mavericks, and the Mavericks getting Doug McDermott from New York. Phoenix acquired guard Elfrid Payton from the Orlando Magic for a 2018 second-round draft pick and waived guard Isaiah Kanan. And Washington traded guard forward Sheldon Mack and cash considerations to Atlanta for a protected 2019 second-round draft pick. So, there you go. Those were the Thursday deals. Now, I believe there were some Friday deals as well. Let me give you a chance. Let me pull them out and get a chance to pull them out here. And we'll go on from there. Okay. Oh, only two. Atlanta waived Marco Bellinelli, guard forward Marco Bellinelli. And Chicago waived guard forward Tony Allen. Tony Allen's a free agent. I don't know what Tony has in the tank left, but anyway, I heard he's had injuries this year. So anyway, that's it as far as I know. But with Cleveland coming into Boston today with a whole brand new ball club, I said to some friends of mine, it's going to be interesting to see how long or if they're going to be able to get this act together and like they like to do, turn it on in time for the playoffs. Well, they're going to turn it on right now if they're going to make the playoffs. Even though they won their first game on Friday night, they didn't play yesterday. So we'll see where we go from there. 417 here on WMFO in Medford, Massachusetts, 91.5 on the FM dial on the internet. www.wmfo.org. We are multicast. No, we're not. Sorry about that. We're only on WMFO 91.5 FM. Internet connection is not connected or not working. Or they didn't pay the bill. Or I don't know. But anyways, more than I can handle, so we're going to move right along. 418 here on WMFO in Medford. A Brown perspective on sports. Let's go to the National Hockey League. We can come back to NBA basketball, but we're going to go to the National Hockey League right now, since we got a late start here. Yesterday, Sabres 4 and the Bruins 2. Maple Leafs 6 and the Senators 3. The Predators 3 and the Canadiens 2. That was a shootout. The Blue Jackets 6 and New Jersey 1. Lightning 4 and the Kings 3. Hurricanes 3 and the Avalanche 1. The Wilds 3 and the Blackhawks zip. The Flyers 4 and the Coyotes 3. That was a shootout. And the Sharks 6 and the Oilers 4. The Bruins have been red hot. Since Cassidy took over for Claude Julien, he has had a record of 26. Where are we here? Oh, here we go. Bruce Cassidy is 51-20-9. 700 success rate since taking over last February. At that time, the Bruins were 26-23-6. And we're looking like they were not going to make the playoffs. But they brought in what the Bruins have accomplished is what the Celtics were doing early in the year. Had all these new faces, had all these young players, and nobody seemed to know each other. And so, therefore, it took them a while to get started. But as the Celtics were sort of like leveled off a little bit, that's what we're going to talk about when we get back to NBA. The Bruins have picked up and are flying, even though, like I said, they lost yesterday to the Sabres 4-2. And in that game, there was no scoring in the first period. And the second period at 7:42, Kane for the Sabres got his 17th goal of the year with an assist from Reinhardt. 1-0 Sabres. At 12:44, Wilson got his third goal of the year with assist from Bulio and Rodriguez. That made it 2-0 Sabres. At 14:39, Spooner came back with his 9th goal of the year. With assist from DeBrusk and Krug. That made it 2-1 Sabres. But at 18:49, Pulio got his 10th goal of the year with assist from Wilson. At the end of the second period, it was the Sabres 3 and the Bruins 1. At 19:01 of the third period, probably with an extra man on the ice, Backes got his 10th goal of the year with assist from Bergeron and Marchand. And that made it 3-2 Sabres. But at 19:31 with an open netter, Ristolainen got his 4th goal of the year, unassisted. And that's the final, Sabres 4 and the Bruins 2. Johnson had 25 saves for the Sabres. Rask had 24 for the Bruins. 421 here on WMFO in Medford, Massachusetts, 91.5 on your FM dial. We have no internet today. I'm sorry. I apologize for that. I have no control over it. I'm assuming it was called in earlier in the day before I got here. And if not, I'm going to make another call when I get home. Let's see. So, Tampa Bay. They have 79 points. Bruins have 74, 5 points behind. Toronto, Florida, Detroit bring up the rear. In the Metropolitan Division, Washington is out in front, followed by Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh has leaped up there. They weren't doing well. But they right now are only about 6 points behind Washington. New Jersey, Philadelphia, and the New York Islanders follow. In the Western Conference, it's Nashville, the Predators. What did they do yesterday? They won also, so they have 75 points. Winnipeg didn't gain any ground. They're 73 points, 2 points behind. They were in first place. St. Louis, Dallas, Minnesota follow. And out west in the Pacific is Vegas. Vegas is still holding on. Can you imagine? Everybody cut their players that they that they thought they could get, you know, they could get by with. They went to Vegas, and Vegas is now having second best record in the league. Can you believe that? Golden Knights. And they are way ahead of Los Angeles, San Jose, Calgary, Anaheim, Azusa, and Cucamonga, bringing up the rear. 4:23 here on WMFO in Metro. I'm your host, Donnelly Brown. This is the Sunday, February 11th, minus the internet division of the Brown Perspective on Sports. Talking sports here virtually every Sunday from 4 to 5 a.m. to get involved in the sports conversation. You have to give me a call. I think the phones are working. I haven't tried them. 1-855-915-WMFO. 1-855-915-9636. I'll be back.
We'll be right back. There's a silent epidemic affecting approximately 4 million Americans. Hepatitis C, a blood-borne disease that infects the liver, often goes undetected since people with the disease can feel and appear perfectly healthy. Less than 30% of all cases are diagnosed. I'm Congressman Jesse Jackson, Jr. You may not know if you're infected with hepatitis C, transmitted primarily through direct exposure to infected blood, perhaps by a needle or even through piercings or tattoos. Others at risk may include people who have had blood transfusions prior to 1992. Symptoms vary, but are most commonly fatigue and depression. Liver failure and even death may occur in 20% of chronic cases. There's no vaccine available, but there are treatments effective in over half of the patients treated. Hepatitis C is a devastating disease that affects people from all walks of life, so it is important to get the facts and understand how this illness works. If you believe you're at risk or you'd like more information, please call the American Liver Foundation at 800-GO-LIVER or visit liverfoundation.org.
And the message is brought to you by friends here at WNFL, Sounds of Praise Ministry, and a Brown Perspective on Sports. 428 is the Brown Perspective on Sports time. I'm your host, Donnelly Brown. We're talking sports here virtually every Sunday from 4 to about 5 a.m. Love to get you involved in the sports conversation. To do that, just give me a call. 1-855-915-WMFO. 1-855-915-9636. I want to apologize again. We have lost our internet connection, and so therefore we're only on 91.5 FM today, hopefully. Only today. All right, where are we going from here? Let's go to men's college basketball. Let's bring up the music. Okay, men's college basketball. Yesterday, Villanova 86, Butler 75. Upset. Virginia Tech, who was unranked, defeated Virginia, ranked number 2, 61-60. Another upset. Michigan State, ranked number 4, defeated Purdue, ranked number 3, 68-65. Xavier 72, Creighton 71. Texas Tech 66, Kansas State 47, Auburn 78, Georgia 61, upset, unranked Baylor defeated Kansas, ranked number 10, 80-64, upset, Gonzaga, ranked number 12, defeated St. Mary's, ranked number 11, 78-65. Arizona 81, USC 67, Ohio State 82, Iowa 64, upset, unranked Alabama defeated Tennessee, ranked number 15, 78-50, upset, Iowa State unranked defeated Oklahoma, ranked number 17, 88-80. Upset, Oklahoma State unranked defeated West Virginia, ranked number 19, 88-85. North Carolina 96, North Carolina State, what is that? 49, I believe. But anyway, can't read my writing. Oh, 96-89, I'm sorry. There you go. Wichita State 95, UConn 74. Nevada 83, San Diego State 58, upset, Texas A&M, unranked, defeated Kentucky, ranked number 24, 85-74. And here's an upset favoring our local, one of our local teams, BC, unranked, defeated Miami, ranked number 25, 72-70. So there you go, BC. Okay, let's go over to the ladies' side. Excuse me. UConn keeps rolling on. UConn 124, Wichita State 43. Yikes. Baylor 83, TCU 63, Texas 76, Kansas State 44, Green Bay 65, Milwaukee 36, and Oklahoma State 81, Iowa State 73. In that UConn game, Williams got 17 points, 7 rebounds, 6 assists, and 4 steals. Collier got 26 points, 6 rebounds, 5 assists, 4 steals, and a block. Samuelson got 22 points, 2 rebounds, 9 assists, and a steal. Dangerfield got 9 points, 2 rebounds, 4 assists, 3 steals. Nurse got 14 points, 1 rebound, 3 assists, and 2 steals. Stevens got 16 points, 4 rebounds, 2 assists, 1 steal, and a block. Irwin got 2 points and 3 rebounds. Bent got 9 points, 4 rebounds, 1 assist, and 3 steals. Coombs got 5 points, 3 rebounds, and 2 steals. And Walker got 4 points, 1 rebound, 2 assists, and a steal. And so UConn was able to go way down the bench and piled it on and poured it on poor Wichita State. UConn, as you know, is still undefeated. 4:33 here on WMFO. This is Medford, Massachusetts. 91.5 on your FM dial on your internet. No, we aren't on the internet. Sorry, I keep saying that because I'm used to saying that. We're not on the internet. Our internet is not working today. I don't know why. Anyway, we'll be back.
My grandchild was born today, 3 months premature. It wasn't supposed to be like this. My daughter, so worried. My granddaughter, so tiny. No one can tell us why she came so early, or if she'll be okay. All we can do is wait for the answers.
1 in 8 babies is born premature. It's the leading cause of newborn death and many disabilities. No one knows what causes many premature births, and until we have more answers, any baby could be next. That's why the March of Dimes is leading a major effort to raise research funds now. Go online to marchofdimes.com and see how you can help. Premature birth. The answers can't come soon enough.
And that message is brought to you by your friends here at WMFO, Sounds of Praise Ministry, and A Brown Perspective on Sports. It's 4:38 here on WMFO in Medford. I'm your host, Donnie Brown, saying one more time, we are not on the internet today. I don't know why. I'm assuming it was reported prior to my coming to the station. But of course, naturally, the engineers and whatnot are sleeping. And so therefore, not much we can do, but I will report it again when I get home just to make sure. Okay, let's go to the Olympics. I haven't watched much of the Olympics, to be truthful. I have so many other things on my plate. haven't had time for the Olympics. But I can give you the up-to-date scores by country thus far in the Olympics. Germany is in first place with 2 golds. Norway is in second place with 3 silvers. And Netherlands is in third place with a bronze. Nobody else has scored in the top three. So, therefore, and I don't know what events these were in. I didn't have time to do all that. But maybe next week we will have more information on the Olympics, and you know, hey, watch it for yourself, and that way you'll know what's going on. Okay, 4:39 here on WMFO in Medford. Let me get back to one of my favorite subjects, the Boston Celtics. Boston Celtics lost a toughie to Indiana on Friday night, primarily because they were off to another one of those horrendous starts where they couldn't throw the ball in the ocean and they weren't getting any calls. I saw at least 2 calls that weren't called against Jason Tatum as he drove to the basket, which is awesome because, you know, with his outside shooting ability and his ability to put the ball on the floor and go to the basket, he should pick up a lot of points and a lot of fouls on the other team because at 6'9", he's a handful out there. With the speed and everything else. And as you know, may know, if not, the Celtics have picked up Greg Monroe, gives us another big man on the inside who can score and pass. And that's not to say that Baines and Theis aren't able to do those things as well. But as fairly new newbies in the league, They aren't getting the call, and so it's calls, and so therefore, Greg Monroe, who has a reputation, I don't know, he's only 28 years old. Jeez, been around, 9 years, something like that? But anyway, he's 6'11", 265 pounds, and he's going to be another big guy, rim protector for us on the inside. And they say that if Tyreke Evans works out a buyout with Memphis, I believe he's with, that the Celtics may sign him before, what I guess is the March 1st deadline. So, I am not down in the dumps because of the way the team has been playing off and on. And they played some great games. Thanks to Terry Rozier when Kyrie Irving was out, and also Marcus Smart. And Marcus is healing, and he should be back. I don't know if he can be back for today's game against the Cavaliers. Now, I have to, you know, with the Celtics having lost Hayward at the beginning of the year and bringing in all these young players, new players and whatnot, they've done very well when you put all things together. They have a percentage. We're half a game behind Toronto, about 2 percentage points behind them because we played more games than they have. Uh, And that blowout in Toronto, I don't get upset about that. Toronto could not miss. When you shoot 50% from the floor for the entire game, what else can you do? And it's like I said, it wasn't like the Celtics were just giving them shots. They just were not. They just could not miss. And we shot almost 40% and still was not close. We got grubbed. But I see that as a motivator, as more than anything to be upset about. Another thing that Greg Monroe, Theis, and Baines are going to be able to do for the Celtics now is allow Al Horford to play on the outside, where he is more comfortable, more profitable, and certainly will be able to last a little longer because of the fact that he's not out there all the time, because we have all these other bodies now that we can put out there. And I think that after the All-Star break, with a few opportunities to put the players on the floor together for some practice, the final 20-odd games of the season for the Celtics could be extremely beneficial. But we'll have to wait and see as far as that's concerned. 4:43 here on WMFO. This is Medford, Massachusetts. 91.5 on your FM dial. On the internet, www.wmfo.org. Multicasting. I did it again. We are not on the internet this morning. So, therefore, if you can't get me on the internet, it's because our internet connection is not functioning. And, like I said, no sense calling the technicians, because I know they're sleeping. They need their nightly rest. And so, therefore, I'll call them when I get home. I'm assuming that this is not a new problem. It was like this when I came into the station. So I'm assuming that someone's already called it in. And they'll be down here sometime after breakfast, I guess, to straighten things away. But who knows? They may be gone away for the weekend. But anyway, it's 4:45 here on WMFO in Medford. I'm your host, Donnelly Brown. 47 degrees outside our studio. 47 rainy degrees outside our studio. And from what I understand, it's supposed to rain all day. And we'll have that weather update at 5:30. It's about 6:30 on the Sounds of Praise Ministry coming up your way at 5 o'clock. Okay, 4:45 here on WMFO in Metro. I'm your host, Donnelly Brown. We're going to take a little break, and I'll be back. We're going to talk Patriots, Super Bowl, and all that other ugly stuff.
Vincent Watson, are you listening? I hope so, because I have something to say to you. My name is Dorothy Franklin, and a year ago, you started mentoring my son, Corey. He wasn't doing well in school and had no direction. So we decided he needed a mentor, a couple hours a week. Corey says you just help him with his homework and questions he has. But ever since you began mentoring my son, he's been acting very strangely. His grades have gone up. He has things he wants to achieve, and who can tell with kids, but he seems happier. In just a short time, Vincent, you have made a difference in my son's life. To him, you are a mentor. To me, you are a saint. Thank you.
When you become a mentor, you'll discover that just a little time can help an awful lot. Do good. Mentor a child. Call Save the Children U.S. at 1-877-BE-A-MENTOR.
Message brought to you by Save the Children U.S. and the Ad Council.
And also by your friends here at WMFO, Sons of Praise Ministry, and a Brown Perspective on Sports. 448 is the Brown Perspective on Sports time. I'm your host, Donnelly Brown. We're talking sports here every Sunday from about 4 to 5 a.m. We'd love to get you involved in sports conversation. To do that, you have to give me a call. 1-855-915-WMFO. 1-855-915-9636. Okay. Super Bowl surmisings. I have no answer. I have no answer. I have absolutely none. No answers whatsoever. I cannot figure out what our resident genius was doing by benching Malcolm Butler. Not that Roe is that bad. And the fact is that we need all the help back there that we can get. And obviously, if he wasn't sick, if he didn't break any rules, the benching of Malcolm Butler just did not make any sense to me. Unless Belichick had a bet on the Eagles. I don't know. Only other thing I threw out there is that maybe he's doing a Bill Parcells payback. Knowing that he's out the door with Kraft and Brady, he decided, okay, I won't let you get another Super Bowl ring. I don't care how many diamonds you put on it. And maybe that's the reason why Josh McDaniel didn't take the Indianapolis Colts job at the last minute. Even though supposedly they had hired some people that he wanted to be his assistant coaches out there. That's really a fandangle of a mess out there. But something's going on. We just don't know about it. I don't know about it. I have no answer for it. I have no clue. Nobody I talk to knows anything. And you don't want to read any articles by Ron Borges, whatever. Ron Real Borges has had his own problems in the past about plagiarism and some other things. So therefore, hey, there you go. But anyway, what can I say? I you know, where do we go from here? I don't know. I have no clue what to do, what to say, where to go, what to think. It just didn't make any sense. And someone who's been designated as a football genius and has five rings to prove, actually more than that, I think he won one with New York also, Giants, that is, as an assistant coach. What was going on? I don't know. A mind cramp? I don't know. I just don't know. And no one's coming with anything either. So therefore, I guess it's a very tight circle of individuals who know what's going on, who know what was going down that night. And to lose by 8 points, to have a field goal missed because of a fumble by the place kicker. I don't think it was a bad snap. Not something I saw would made it look like a bad snap. But anyway, and then have two, not one, but two touchdowns that had to be really dug into to determine whether they were touchdowns or not. Hey, I think we did enough to win the game. When Chris Collinsworth said, I don't know what a touchdown is anymore. And he's getting paid to announce the games, I guess, to say it's a snafu in on the side of the New England coaching staff. It's a snafu on the, well, at least Belichick anyway. It's a snafu on the side of the NFL with their rules, which change, and nobody knows what the rules are. So anyway, that's it. Where do we go from here? I don't know. I really don't know. Not in a good position, that's for sure. As far as going forward, the question is, where is the mindset of the players who are going to be here? You know, we're getting potentially a lot of great players back. Julian Edelman, Dante Hightower, Shea McClellan. I don't know. Cannon also, our offensive tackle. Anyway, I'm going to sit back and watch just like you. And when you find out, let me know. And if I find out first, I'll let you guys know. Okay. 453 here at WFO at Medford, 91.5 on your FM dial on the internet. Oh, we're not on the internet today. I'm sorry. There is no internet connection. My screen is telling me here. We should check the network cables, the modem and router, and reconnecting to Wi-Fi, all that good technical stuff, which I know nothing about. I'll be back. Okay, 4:56 here on WFO in Medford, Massachusetts. I'm your host, Donnie Brown. It's the Sunday, February the 11th, 2018 edition of the Brown Perspective on Sports here virtually every Sunday, talking sports from about 4 to 5 a.m. to get involved in a sports conversation. Should have done that earlier. Right now, we're going to close off with a little bit about the Red Sox. Can you believe it? Spring training pitchers and catchers report on Tuesday. Ooh. And we're still missing that big bat in the middle of the lineup. I understand that the Chicago Cubs signed Yu Darvish, adding them to their pitching staff. I don't know whether they're going to bring what's-his-face back. They used to pitch for the Red Sox and the Cardinals and everybody else. But anyway, Darvish has been added, and that's another arm for the Cubbies to try to make a comeback after falling out of the championship mode the previous year. And so we're going to see what the Red Sox are going to do. Mitch Moreland is back at first base. I'm surprised they haven't signed Nunez the way he played last year, even if we didn't get Martinez. Anyway, we're going to wait and see what happens there. Price says he's ready and back and ready to go. We're going to get right back off the IR list as well. And so we're going to have to wait and see how well the team blends and gels. Can Mookie Betts bounce back after he got his big salary? Which I think he certainly deserves. The guy's a great glove man, runs the bases, hits with power, hits for average. And last year fell off a little bit. And so we're going to have to wait and see how things go in 2018. And they made no other trades, hopefully. They're just going to get an uptick in production from everybody else. And Dustin Pedroia, when he comes back, he'll jump right in there. And that way, that'll give us Nunez maybe at third base against left-handed pitchers if we sign him. And our red-hot rookie will be able to play in there at right-handed pitchers. Anyway, we're going to see what happens. This should be an interesting year. Hanley's back from shoulder surgery. And so, hopefully, we're looking forward for good things in the year 2018. So, until then, it's your host, Donnelly Brown, saying God bless. Have a fantastic day and week. And the Lord will see you bright and early next Sunday morning at 4 a.m. or thereabouts when we do it all over again. And I invite you to stay tuned for Sounds of Praise coming your way. We'll be bringing you part 3 of the countdown of the top 200 hits in the gospel field for the year 2017. First two programs were awesome. Not only because